last week we were looking at the dark ages, the Thyatira church age, and we saw that it was a terrible time for the believer. That's why it was called the dark ages, because the church, the false vine, was persecuting the true vine, and they really killed them. But we saw also how this reflected in the architecture in those days, in the Byzantine and Gothic architecture, and we seen how all the elements were designed in a way as to show the hierarchy of the church and so forth. And we also followed briefly the statue of Diana of the Ephesians and seen how that moved from just being a lustreless figure in the courtyard of the church building, and then it became part of the building in a way of being painted on the pillars, sitting on the pillars, and we find that it became the pillar itself. And a pillar is a structural element of a building because that's where all the weight is held for that building.
Hallelujah.
And for it to become the pillar, it really was a reflection of how idol worship is the pillar of this religion that we are talking about. You know, I watch on YouTube our messages that we put there, and the recordings, we put them on YouTube, and sometimes they mark them these days. If we sing a song, All Is Well, or something, they say copyright breach, you know. So sometimes we cut the music, because once they cut copyright, they limit how far the sermon can go. So those things they monitor, and so also when we speak about this false vine, sometimes we might have to use coded language and things like that. But it became the pillar of this religion, and as time went on, we found that Gothic style architecture came, and it started to be the kind of architecture that was trying to show how they were trying to build even higher, but because they didn't have the technology, they started to put these buttresses out there to hold the building together, you know, as they built even higher and higher. But it was a reflection of what God was going to do in the next age to reveal who these people really are. Because those buttresses are structural elements, and usually a structural element is hidden when you build a building. It's not a nice thing to see, you know. You know, you don't show your bones and your spinal cord, you know. It's all hidden because there's not much aesthetic to it. But they were forced to do it in this instance because of their desire to build higher. And in a way, God was showing they were getting ready to be exposed in the next church age, which is the Sardis church age, the church age of Martin Luther. So if you could put that for me, because I can't see well on my screen. So after what seemed an interminable time where in truth must surely die, men began to protest the vileness of the Roman Catholic Church, because by no stretch of imagination could God be in such teaching and such conduct. So people were beginning to see that something is wrong here. How can they be preaching the gospel and killing people and all this? And these protests were either disregarded and died from failure to arouse attention, or were quashed by Rome. But then God, in his sovereign grace, sent a messenger by the name of Martin Luther, the messenger to the Sardis church age, to start a reformation. He worked in a climate where the Roman Catholic Church had been given so much rope that she was about to hang herself. So when Luther preached justification by faith, the true vine, for the first time in many centuries, began to grow in a bountiful manner. Now, I really love the message. I don't know about you, but I love the message. When I read such things, I don't know what to do. It's just so true, because all this time we have been looking at the buildings that were built by the false vine. And they were the ones, the government was behind them, they had the resources, and they were the ones that could afford to build something that represents that whole society. But a change happened in the Sardis church age, in that the kind of architecture that began to be built, it is actually called Renaissance architecture. It is a complete rejection of the Byzantine and the early Christian architecture, and all the architecture forms that came before that to glorify the Trinity and the statues and idol worship, that architecture was completely rejected in this Sardis church age. And so when I know that, that's what happened, it was a rejection of that architecture. So where does that leave us then? Because all along we were saying the false vine is the one that has what? The resources to build this kind of buildings. But we find here the prophet giving us what happened in the church ages, that the people couldn't wait. They were protesting the vileness of the Roman Catholic Church. So it is when Luther preached justification by faith, the true vine, for the first time, yeah, in many centuries, began to grow in a bountiful manner. So many people were flocking to the true vine. As the nominal church, the false vine, had used state power to back it up, now state power began to flow against the Roman Catholic Church. And if you know the history of the Reformation, this is very interesting. And this is where Luther also made his mistake, the prophet says. The true believers made their mistake. They allowed the state to subsidize them. So all of a sudden now, all these great people of Germany that were holding these positions of power, they began to support Luther and the Reformation. And you find now the guilds where architects belonged to no longer had to support what the church wanted. They could also now express what the Reformation was preaching, the just shall live by faith. So as a result of that, we find a beginning of an expression of a certain architecture that rejected everything that had been done through the ages, and we come to a place where we have Renaissance architecture. A complete difference from the architecture that we have seen so far, in that you don't find pillars there, you don't find statues, it's just logical. They just want to build something that people use. They are not using it anymore as an expression of what the church stands for. Because the people had been fed up with this. Now, these words are not my words. They are from architectural textbooks. The Renaissance style of architecture emerged in Florence not as a slow evolution from preceding styles, but rather as a conscious development put into motion by architects seeking to revive the golden age of classical antiquity. The buildings of the early Renaissance in Florence expressed a new sense of light. If you are a message believer, you read between the lines. Amen. Clarity and spaciousness that reflected the enlightenment and clarity of mind glorified by the philosophy of humanism. Now, if you are a message believer, you will see that this could only happen if something had happened in the spiritual realm. God had revealed a little bit more light, and all these people were catching on to that, and it led to that kind of architecture. The Renaissance style, eschewed, Brother Maxwell loves that word, because I think Job eschewed evil, and that's the same word that the Renaissance style, it eschewed, it hated the complex proportional system and irregular profiles of Gothic architecture and placed emphasis on symmetry, proportion, geometry, and regularity of parts. The parts had to fit in together, just as much as when Martin Luther looked and seen the doctrine of the church and then looked at the Bible and he saw a verse, "The just shall live by faith." It didn't fit in together. And he said, something must be wrong here. Why? The age had come for these things to be revealed. Now we are going to move quickly, because the Renaissance architecture that we are looking at, it didn't last very long before the people that were still begged by the Pope began to react against that Renaissance architecture. They brought in another form of architecture, which is called, Baroque and Rococo style, and it coincides with the Philadelphia church age. This Baroque and Rococo style is a complete reaction to what the Renaissance architecture was. These are the people that were still holding to the doctrine of the false vine, and they thought that let's up our ante a little bit. because we are losing people here. And interestingly, this is the architecture that is called Baroque style. And you can see how different it is because it's more expressive. It's got a lot of color and a lot of things are happening in there. And I'm going to read again from an architecture textbook for you to read what this Baroque architecture is. In 16th century Italy, an architectural style developed to create a dynamic, impressive appearance. This was not written by a message believer. It was written by an architectural historian. But you as a message believer, you will understand it better from a message standpoint, what really was happening here.
Amen.
This style, which had connections to the Catholic religion, was known as Baroque architecture. Baroque architecture was an Italian architectural movement that rose during a time of turmoil for the Catholic Church. Yeah? It was part of a reaction to the Protestant Reformation, which was when reformers led a series of challenges that resulted in Protestants leaving the Catholic Church. The latter responded with the Counter-Reformation. If you know the history of the Reformation, this will be very interesting for you, which was a series of reforms, but also a display of power and wealth meant to reaffirm the church's status in society and faith. You could consider early Baroque architecture, which focused on churches, as a visual form of propaganda promoting the church. It was not a style found on modest structures like homes. Although it was used on palaces and other buildings, Baroque architecture spread through Europe, England, Spain, as far away as South America. Baroque architecture was meant to make a statement. Structures often had grand curving walls and elongated, distorted architectural elements. I'm just going to skip all this architecture. Baroque architecture also included massing or grouping of elements like columns and pilasters to make structures seem impressive and substantial. It often repeated architectural elements across surfaces. Interiors were full of bold colors and decorations. They had rich surface treatments, including plenty of gilt and very thin layers of gold. Baroque architecture was deeply emotional. All those shadows and curves created a sense of movement and a powerful impression. It was an attempt through architecture to pull people back to the Catholic Church. That's what architectural historians say when they read what these buildings mean. And when we look at it and compare with the message, it baffles the mind to think, yes, that's very true. So if you could put the true vine flourished in any age like no other in terms of numbers and at home and abroad. This brought about men to the forefront. The true vine spread and the false vine receded. So there was this back and forth pulling between the true vine and the false vine. Everywhere the true vine went, God gave life and happiness. The false vine was shown up for what it was: darkness, misery, poverty, illiteracy, and death. And as the false vine in its day of power could not kill the true vine, neither could the true vine now bring back the false vine to Jesus Christ. But the false vine, this is important, the false vine entrenched itself, waiting for the last part of the last age when it would win all back to itself except that small flock that were the elect, the true vine of God. So as we go on in the church ages, we find that the false vine, what did it do? It entrenched itself. It retreated a little bit as if it is extinguished. And all of a sudden, the true vine was flourishing, which brought us to what? The Pentecostal age. It brought us to Laodicea church age. And all of a sudden, there was all this manifestation and a lot of people became Christians and everything was happening like that. And the architecture that resulted in all these ages is too various to mention now. Because everybody could express themselves. There was now what they call freedom of religion. But it doesn't mean that the false vine was completely vanquished. The prophet says in the previous quote, it was waiting for the last part of the last age when it would win all back to itself. So we didn't look at a lot of these architectural styles that came as a result of the Industrial Revolution, new materials being found, but you can see that there was a lot happening here. We can try to read what this means, but really most of it is just capitalism. People want to build something that works. I have a company, it produces cars, I want a building that produces cars. So there's this movement called form follows function, where the form of the building is not what you have in mind first as in previous architectures. That's what they came with first, is how will the building look like? Then how can we use the space? No, in this new age, they say, what is the building for? What are we going to need? What will this space be required for? We need an office for the director. It needs these dimensions. We need a place to put the printer and so forth. And as you relate those places, that's the function of the building. It produces a form. That's what you see in many of these. So you can't read much. But not only that, also, if you close your eyes, you will fail to notice that that false vine, which had receded and was entrenching itself, waiting for the last age, also has begun to manifest even in this age that we are living in now. Amen. And if you fail to notice, you will bow down at the foot of these idols and take a selfie and say, look what I have done. The devil no longer has to force people to bow down at the foot of idols. No, he has gamed up. He has gone a gear higher on his game. He builds it in a way that it's needed. We need a building. But where do the people that build these buildings get their inspiration from? This is like a moon. And I can tell you that that's what the architect was thinking. He thought of the moon. He thought, I would design a building like that. The materials allow it. The technology allows it. Imagine in the days of Nimrod, if they had the materials like we have today, if they had the technology like we have today, what could they have done? In the days of Diana of the Ephesians, what could they have built to express what was in their hearts if they had what we have today? But look now, we have this kind of form of architecture. I have nothing against it. It's beautiful. I asked Hannah, what does this look like? So it's like some plant that grows in the desert. That's what she thinks. But you can see this is some fruit. I don't know what the name of the fruit of it. And they take inspiration from undersea animals as well, like a whale, you know, going under the sea. And they take inspiration from that and design. But all the while, the devil is preparing them for something. Because he still has a desire to express himself. He still wants idol worship to flourish. It's not gone. Amen. The Catholic Church built its buildings way back, and they are still using those buildings. They don't build anymore, and they just use the old buildings. It would be hard to say, what would they build now if they are going to build? But does that mean idol worship is gone? Does that mean this statue of this woman, Diana of the Ephesians, has vanished? Well, that would make the message a liar then, because the prophet says whatever started in the first church age must run through to the last church age. And it will either be glorified when it comes to full maturity and it's a good thing, or it will be destroyed when it comes to full maturity and it's an evil thing. And we see that it was true in these church ages, because we've seen this statue, it represents idol worship, and we've seen it changing from a statue in the courtyard, and it became part of the building, and it was painted on the building. It was sitting on the pillar, and it became the pillar itself. So it kept on changing, but if we are not careful, the devil can pull the wool over your eyes. And you can go on in idol worship thinking that all is well. But no, it must be destroyed. The good man went and he sowed his seed. And then the evil one came and he sowed his seed also. And the master said, leave them until they come to full maturity. And at the end, we shall take the good seed and plant it. So, but the false vine, entrenched itself, waiting for the last part of the last age when it would win back to itself, all back to itself except that small flock that were the elect. So we could have taken different routes at this point. We could have gone and looked at the current European Union Parliament, but much has been said already about that. And there's a lot of various architectures that we could look at. But this morning, I would like to finish this topic by looking at an architectural style that has come now. And this is a big movement in architecture. Now, if you go to the places where these buildings are built, you sure would like to take a picture, a selfie, and put on your status on these buildings. They are buildings, they function, people go in them, they use them. But this morning, your mind is not a dirty mind if you see something that is not right there. And I'm not going to define it for you because of, on account of the children that are here. For what reason is this architect taking these kind of forms of architecture and taking that inspiration from the body of a woman and building things like that? For what? Is this an idol? Do people bow before it? And it's necessary in this age to look and say, what kind of an architect did this? Who designed this? What was she trying to show? And you go and look at her history and see how she is Catholic through and through. The woman that designed this. Mm. They call her the queen of the cave. They call her the queen of architecture. Perhaps she wants to build the queen of heaven again in courts when you look at these kind of things. Right. Now, if you don't see anything there, what about those ladies there that stand there like the bottom part of a lady? Building it like that. And you'll be shocked to know that this is actually a church. People go into this high-heeled shoe to worship. It's actually a church building. Yet it's like a high-heeled shoe. What are they trying to portray? I won't even speak about that on the top there on account of the children. But you must know that the prophet was right. Whatever was planted in the first church age, when they put that last, it looked like it had no harm at all. But from an architectural standpoint, that little figure has morphed itself, has changed until it has become the building itself today. And people go in it. And I could have chosen worse buildings to show the things that they are doing. Another one is in England, you will know it. That shows this kind of bad things. And we are building it and celebrating it. No wonder in the days, they built in the days of Daniel, a golden image. And you had to bow down and worship on it. Otherwise, they were thrown in the fiery furnace for refusing to worship it. But today, the devil is also still expressing himself. He knows that, no, now I'll get them. There's mobile phones. They want nice buildings. I'll give them to them and they will see things that eye has not seen. He's building his kingdom. But I'm glad this morning that we have a kingdom of righteousness which God has gone to prepare. And it will come down like a bride that is adorned for her husband. And you and me, we shall live in that city. Not in these cities where even the buildings themselves, when you look at them, they provoke certain things within you that are not supposed to be provoked. May the Lord bless you. I pray that this has been a blessing of a series. And let's keep praying for one another until we speak together again. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the things that you reveal to us in the message. Lord, may it continue, Lord, Father, to speak to us to see how late the hour is when we have these kind of buildings being built. No wonder the Bible says all the works of man will be destroyed. Father, when the great fire comes and renovates this earth, Surely it has to be destroyed. For how can men glorify such things, Lord, that cause evil, lustful passions to arise in people? We pray, Father, that you keep our eyes veiled from such things and that we will only behold that which is of righteousness of thy kingdom. Help us, Father, and help us to stay the course until you come, Lord, and bring us to that city whose builder and maker is God. May your name be glorified even as we go into the song service. Bless our brother George, Lord. Use him, Father, and bless the saints wherever they are joining in from. Help us, Father, that we may worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.